And Bacon from Tupelo. Man, I'm living high on the hog for nothing. All we had to buy was the corn. I'm trying to remember where I got that. And I took my nap before I ate my corn on the cob. I understand some of my friends went to Lemons for dinner, but they didn't invite me, so we just went home and enjoyed it. So I took my little nap, and Sister Black and I took a nap after lunch, and we almost overslept. I tell you what, you almost have forgot our phone number today. Thank you. It was beautiful. I tried to call Brother Goddard a while ago, and his phone was off the hook. That's the way some people do it. But he told me they didn't know it. They'd forgot about it. But anyway, we was calling from the board meeting trying to get some information. We couldn't get it. Well, I'm glad. And you know what? There's some things to get any results. You just got to tear the roof off. You got to get to it and get with it. And there's people here tonight that are not going to come to this altar because they're afraid what somebody is going to think or say. But there's a place that you get in God to receive your miracle, that you will tear the tiles off the roof. And then you'll find, and I have a different conception of this than most people. I believe these old boys had very sensitive hearing. And they walked around on the rooftop, or they estimated the place that they felt like Jesus would be standing before that crowd. And when they got right up over there, somebody run up on the roof real quick and tap around and find out about where I'm speaking. I don't want you to tear the roof off. We had too much of a time getting it on there. But you could locate the place about where I'm preaching. And Jesus stood before these people, and he was healing people, and he was telling them about the good things that God had for them. And these old boys had their ears down on the roof, and they're finding out, and one of them said, "He's just about right here." And they decided that was it, and they started tearing the roof off. Started tearing the roof off, and of course they let this man down. One time, we carried Bradshaw in here and pretended he was the man sick of the palsy. You remember that? And he had a spell right on the cot, like it scared me to death. Well, he was something. Man, he jumped off shouting and worshiping God. But I can't keep from believing that that could really happen tonight, because the violent shall take it by force. People that get something from God have to do something, and I'm willing tonight. Oh, if the Spirit of the Lord told me to walk around this place 10 times, and I'm sure I would be dragging by the time I made 10 trips around here. But I'll do it, Brother Corden, when I see what God has done for you. Praise God. And how you seem to express yourself every time the Spirit of God hits you. A miracle takes place in you, and God revives you over and over again. This man took the roof off to get his healing. Right there in the intensive care unit. Things that come from God don't always come by laying under the shade tree and waiting for a miracle to happen. But God wants us to put forth some effort. And I noticed the Word of God speaks of those men that carried this fellow, and it said, by their faith. So I'll say their faith. By their faith, Brother Crabtree, he was healed. Let's tear the roof off. What do you say? Who do you know that we can help tonight? Who do you know that we can get to God? The Bible tells us of one woman that spent everything she had. She had given the doctors all of her savings. Everything she had. I was just thinking recently, and usually most of us have some kind of a hospitalization or Medicare or something we can rely on, but it don't take much of a sick spell to wipe out everything you own. And this woman lived before, Sister Taylor, the days of Medicare. And she had no hospitalization, but all that she had given to the doctors for her healing. And then she heard of one glimmer of hope, one chance, one spark, one way that it might happen. She heard that Jesus was healing people, Sister Young.
Jesus would go by and look into blind eyes, and they would begin to focus, and they would take place. Sister Yates, this little lady, and I'm sure she, you feel like standing up? She must have looked like you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. She spent all she had, Sister Yates. And she wasn't healed. She had a very serious issue of blood. But she heard about Jesus healing people, making blinded eyes to see, healing people that were blind and crippled. Can you walk without that cane? If you lean on me. She heard about people that Jesus went by and helped them to walk again. Praise God. And she said, it's worth a try. It's worth a try. And she went out there and she ran into the same problem as the man who was sick of the palsy. The crowd was too big. Society. But you know what you got to do? You got to get above the people. Or below the people. You got to get around them some way. And you know what? You know what she did? Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but I'm just going to give you an idea. She saw that she couldn't get around those bullies.
Pressed through.
What'd she do?
She pressed through the crowd and got into Jesus where she could touch the hem of his garment.
Well, how in the world did she do that, this little woman?
Well, I suppose she must have got down on her knees and kind of pushed through from one side to the other.
This would be too much for you to do, wouldn't it?
I can't get on my knees.
Can't get on your knees? Well, I can't. I'm still able to do that. And then you think that she pressed through the crowd, on her knees. And she saw the flipping and the moving of the garment of Jesus. And she pressed through that crowd, that society. Somebody said, look at that old lady down there on her knees. I wonder what she's doing. Someone else said, well, she thinks she's going to slip through there and get a spot right in the front of the parade. And someone stuck their foot out and tried to stop her, but she just pushed on anyway. And someone else crowded in front of her. And some little child that Granny was trying to let see everything was happening got in front of her, but she just pressed on anyway. And she reached, but when she reached, the garment was gone. She got up and she went again. And she pressed through this crowd. Oh, hallelujah. There's no telling how far you'll have to go. There's no telling how many people that'll be in your way. I'd like for the Lord to heal my right foot tonight. I would like to know that little lady's secret. And I think I know what it was. The Bible says the violent. That means people that mean business. That means people that are serious, concerned, and somehow she lurched, and Jesus said, who touched me? Naomi, did you touch me? Mule, did you touch me? Barb, did you touch me? Kevin, you touched me? No, I didn't touch you. Why, Jesus, no practical. Oh, practical. Haynes said, why, Jesus, all kinds of people touching you. All kinds of people touching you. Bumping into you and all around you. But he said, I felt virtue. I felt virtue. I hope Jesus feels some virtue leaving him tonight. I want Jesus to feel some virtue. And so the progression of those that got something from God continued like this, tearing off roofs, breaking through crowds, staying in upper rooms till the glory of God fell. There wasn't a bunch of sissies up there in that upper room waiting for the glory of God. Man, you had all kinds of characters. You had people from all walks of life. You had people that were very intelligent, and you had people with just minimum of education but a lot of experience in the world. You had old salty fishermen. You had doctors with physicians with degrees of medicine. You had tax collectors that sat by the roadside and knew all the shortcuts to making a quick buck. You had people that had stole, you had people that had murdered, you had people that had done everything in the world, but they're all thrown together in one great big conglomeration of spirituality, and they're waiting there for a move of God, and the Lord sends the Holy Ghost upon them, and he baptizes one just like the other, and they all speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. There are people here tonight that have not experienced this beautiful outpouring of the Spirit of God, and you need right now to press through the society and the crowd and find your place at the hem of Jesus. All it took was a touch of the hem of his garment, and the woman was made whole. Woo! Woo! The little lady jumps up. The little sister Yates jumps up, praise God. And she says, "Ooh, I'm healed, I am well, I can run, I can skip. I know that the Lord has worked a miracle for me." And she got that there miracle from God because she persevered, she pushed, she pressed, and she got what she needed. It's here for you tonight. Praise God. Oh, God bless you. I got my hand kissed. Amen. Praise God. Wasn't that nice? Well, whether you thought it was nice or not, it was met with good intentions. And you know what? That old boy that was dropped down in front of that crowd, he left that cot. Wow! Excuse me. He done something.
I thought, tell me, don't step down like a bump on the log.
He goes, say, that man got off that cot, walked away. He didn't walk away, he ran away. He picked up his bed. And he ran and he shouted and he rejoiced. Now don't tell me that that wouldn't excite you. You've just heard it too many times. Yeah. Yeah, isn't that great? Isn't that great? Man sick all of his life. Laying on the cot all of his life. Laying on the cot all of his life. Oh, man alive. Man alive. And you know what? They let him down before Jesus. And Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk. And the old boy says, somebody hand me a robe. Somebody get my pajamas. Somebody help me up. Oh, me, let's see. Which way am I going to run? I can't run that way. Too many people can't go that way. Hey, he cleared them out. Where would you want me to make a door? Some comic, yeah. Supposed to be with a snake handler. Says, where would you want a door? This fellow didn't. Can you see him? Can you see him, Debbie, picking up that bed and saying, excuse me. Give me a bed. Give me a chair. Fold that chair up, Stan. Put it up here on my shoulder, will you? Excuse me, please. Excuse me. Excuse me. You see, I just got healed. And, I'd like to get through here. Oh, you won't let me through? Okay, I'll try this aisle over here. Excuse me, please. All right. Would somebody let me out of this place? No. He picked up his bed, and he cleared the aisles. It's about time we got excited about something around here. Sir, can I have your testimony? What church did you go to before you came to Pentecostal Church?
I went to the Catholic Church.
Uh-huh. Did you go to school at the Catholic Church?
I sure did. I spent my whole life there. St. Ferdinand's Catholic School.
And then you went to seminary?
That's right.
Where?
Out at St. Stanislaus, which is now Gateway.
Isn't that something? Y'all hear that? He's telling the truth.
And then I say, have you been excited about what's happened to you?
You bet.
He don't really bet, but he means it. Where's Parrot? Where's Brother Leonard? Come down here, Brother Leonard. Hurry up. How about you, old buddy?
Where were you when God saved you?
I was right about there.
Did you say excuse?
Excuse me while I speak in tongues, everybody. Hang on, Red. Hang on. Excuse me while I cry. Excuse me while I get the Holy Ghost. Excuse me nothing. You don't excuse nothing. You get it. You get it. You get it. You beat your way in. You chop the roof in. You throw the tiles out of the way. And you get with Jesus any way that you know how. Somebody said, Brother Black, you sure got a technique in helping people get the Holy Ghost. I sure have. I tell them to get right in there with Jesus and quit fooling around. Well, I'm afraid I'll do it within myself. Of course you're going to do it within yourself. If you're expecting an angel to come and take your place while you get the Holy Ghost, forget it. Forget it. You'll never get the Holy Ghost. Because God wants your tongue, your mouth, your head, your brain. You say, I'd speak in tongues, but I'm afraid I'll do it within myself. Of course you'll do it within yourself as the Spirit of God gives utterance.
Oh, my bed while I shout.
The violent shall take it by force. What did you do when you were out in the world?
You want a dull one or an exciting one?
I want the truth.
I was a drug dealer at 13 years old, and I was a rock and roll drummer for about 6 years.
Right.
And what he didn't tell you was that his brain was practically cooked with drugs. And he had to spend some time in a hospital. And then one night, one day, Tim Brady. Oh, Tim, I'm so glad you're tough. I'm so glad you're rugged, buddy. Stand up, Tim. Tim Brady was working down at the yellow truck lines, yellow transit, and these boys that were working there as little side jobs, he brought them to church. Right, Tim? And this old boy got the Holy Ghost. And then he said, pardon me. Pardon me while I make the decision whether I want to give up my drugs or not. Is that what you said?
No, sir. That's not what I said.
What'd you say?
I just repented and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And it'll be 3 years next Saturday night. And I'll never forget that night.
And the day, thank you, Ken. And the day, Brother Leonard, that you came up, I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I've told it all over the United States General Conference and everywhere else. I'll never forget that day you came in the side door crying. And you said, them ladies come to my house. And they said, you fellas can help me. Malcolm Bliss gave up on me. That's the mental hospital, in case you new people don't know it. He said, I'm an alcoholic, you said. Nobody can help me. And Brother Branning and I told you that Jesus could help you. Then you said, now, boys, I'm going to go home and decide whether I want to give up this drinking or not. No, you didn't do it that way. What'd you say?
I just gave it up. I mean, it was just taken away from me, everything, Brother Black. I mean, I just can't explain to people. I don't care how hard you try to explain to them. It's just something that...
Do you remember a few nights later, after the Lord forgave you, and you was just such a beautiful state of the Spirit. You're sitting about where Brother O'Neill is sitting. And I walked back there during the service. The Lord had a hold of you. And I walked back there and prayed with you a little bit, and you spoke in tongues a little bit. And he shot up out of that seat, Brother O'Neill, and he said, what? What was that? And you remember that? What?
She just jumped out of there and had so funny. I don't want that thing anymore.
Praise God. He jumped up out of there and he's been jumping ever since. Praise God. What has he done for you? What kind of a miracle has God given you? Did you tear the roof off? Did you get excited, Brother Radford? Did you press your way through the crowd? Did you touch the hem of his garment? Did you get to the upper room and walk the floor or sit in the seat and say, oh God, I don't know what it is, what it looks like, or what color it is, but I want the Holy Ghost. I prayed with Ralph Powell, pastor of the Beaumont Baptist Church in Independence, Missouri. We tricked them into inviting us to a Saturday night prayer meeting. And the deacon board, we heard they were trying to get the Holy Ghost. When I looked on his desk, I saw some books from Brother Urshan's messages on harvest time. That's what had convinced him. And we prayed with him, and I heard him say when he was praying, and we all went around a circle praying in his office, and I heard him say, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost at any cost. And then he said, if tongues goes along with it, I want that too. It didn't happen there. I was in a full gospel businessman's breakfast a week or so two later with Brother Royce Elms. I was sitting right behind Ralph Powell, and when it come time to pray, he fell on his knees. Brother Royce Elms and I got with him, and he received the Holy Ghost. His Baptist congregation thought it was great. They fired him a couple weeks later. He went across town and started another church right near Highway 40, right near Interstate 70. Whenever you go into Kansas City, when the choir goes in, right near the stadium, you'll see it, the Berean Pentecostal Baptist Church. I was just recently, or last year, with Brother Goddard at the A School Convention in Columbia. And I heard somebody down below me when they was calling out the preacher's name. He said, Ralph Powell, Independence, Missouri. I could hardly wait till that service was over. I got down there and I said, Brother Powell, you still got the Holy Ghost? He said, I sure have. I sure have. And he had become a little bit fanatic, a little bit violent. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Vern Marston getting up in a service and saying, will you all excuse me while I shout a little bit? No! Oh, that son of thunder jumps to his feet and screams and brays and yells. And he don't care what anybody thinks about it. I knew one of his former pastors who didn't think too much of all of this. And I was with him on an elevator at a general conference one time, and he says, how's Vern Marston doing? I said, man, he's doing great. He said, well, if you preach on baptism in Jesus' name and Holy Ghost every night, said he might be all right. I said, I may just do that. What's wrong with that? What's wrong? The violent shall take it by force. This is not for a bunch of lace panted men. Am I right or not? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Shall we stand? Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord.
Stand still, Gary. I'm coming up. Praise God.
Now I would like to make an invitation to anybody in this building that would like to have a touch from God. You may need a miracle. I might have got mine tonight. Praise God. The Lord's going to give me one. He's going to heal my right foot like he healed my left one. I'm going to take the infection out of my system and I'm going to feel better. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I think I'm motivating on spirit right now. And I'm feeling real good. Now I want somebody to walk down them aisles that I won't have to come back there and beg and say, oh, please, please. Pretty please. Can you hear me all right? ship. I want somebody that I won't have to come back here and say, oh, come on, honey. Come on, darling. Won't you give Jesus 5 minutes of your time? You ought to be man enough and woman enough to see your need of God tonight. You know you're not having as much fun as we are. You know that you're not having the great time that we are. While we sing, I want you to come and start filling these altars tonight and get that touch of God that you need on your life. Sing it, Sister Betty.
Touching Jesus is all.